Welcome to the Mike and Doug Show, where you hear the truth first and we provide you evidence. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Hey, Douglas, how are you? It's a nice rainy day here.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful. And what I think is even more beautiful is that when we hear news out there in America, and then Betsy says to you and the conclave and to the miners that she needs things looked into, it always blows my mind that when you finally get down to the dirtiest, nastiest people involved in whatever it is, you know, Oracle's takeover of TikTok or what's happening in any of these things, you look, you research, and the same dirty dogs come up again. And so today we're going to talk about Oracle and TikTok, but we're going to get in the end. So make sure you stay for the whole podcast because we're going to reveal the worst of the nasty people that was probably behind this Oracle deal. And we're going to tell you what Oracle really is because, unfortunately, it's the same old story. It's the usual suspects. It's the same old corrupt cabal. But you know what? People don't know that Larry Ellison is as corrupt as Brin and Page and Zuckerberg. But again, the evidence will be provided by the miners, and their spokesperson, Michael McKibben, is going to tell us today about some of the bizarre British strings and of control and puppeteering of Oracle from the Queen's Royal Chamber, as well as how the Chinese are involved in this. So, Michael, you started researching this, and we've talked about it a little bit, but now you've gone so deep, it's just incredible. What can you tell us about Oracle and TikTok deal?
I don't know where to start on this one, because this started off us just, first of all, I need to say, I have not spent 3 minutes on Larry Ellison, and neither have any of our researchers in all these years. So Oracle has not been on our radar screen other than my experience with Oracle, which goes way back because at one point we were using an Oracle database. And I'm not sure a lot of people even know what Oracle does. What do you think, Douglas?
Well, I know they don't because I didn't. And when you said Oracle, who's Oracle and who cares? But then I studied a little bit, just go to Wikipedia, or as I like to call it, the left-wing propaganda encyclopedia, and they'll even tell you bold-facedly some of the most ridiculous proof that Oracle is basically the same old Silicon Valley cardboard cutout cyber warlords. And it's so clear. It's the same people. It's the same venture capitalists. It's the same routine. Yeah.
Well, I had known the story of how it started at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in 1977. That part I knew. And I knew that the Oracle name was the project that Ellison and two other guys were hired to help what looked to be the Air Force build a database to analyze the data that they were collecting. Because up until that time, they had been using computer tapes. And sometimes they started complaining. And we're just looking at documents now where they were complaining in 77, 78, that they were having to load up too many computer tapes and it was slowing them down. And if you have been around a while, you remember those old tapes and the old James Bond movies where they would have a whole room full of these tapes going back and forth. That's because those were database readers. And that's the way data was stored. So there was a limit to scalability with that kind of technology. And in 77, the Air Force hired Ellison and two other guys to start writing a database for the CIA. That's even mentioned in the Wikipedia history. The only time Wikipedia ever mentions that is because they probably believe that eventually the real story of Ellison is going to come out. But anyway, the other curious thing about Ellison is since he started Oracle in 79, he's never worked anywhere else in his whole life. He did burn through four wives, but he never burned his bridges with the people that were clearly feeding his company. And so databases are essentially places where you can store information. And oftentimes you see a set of disks. Think of it like a very large hard drive on your computer. It's just very large and can be stuck into big data centers like in Utah or up in Luleå, Sweden, where you get them big enough and you get enough of them spinning around, then you can store a lot of data. And the more that data you can store in this kind of database, the easier it is to get access to data and then also to be able to analyze it. So that was a very key technical problem that the Pilgrim Society had in how they were going to implement this concept that was articulated back in 26 by David Sarnoff, that the entire world would be able to be controlled by these new weaponized data systems. And Oracle is a key element of that, because if you can't store the data so that you can retrieve it, then you don't have a system that can move quickly enough. And that's what Ellison came into Dayton to start. And there is a story that he started, that he came up with the name Oracle. That's not true. He was, that was the name given to the project. Now we see from CIA documents that have been declassified in the last few years, we're just reading a lot about this right now, that the Oracle of Delphi was a key idea in early CIA research into mind control. And that was the choice of this word Oracle over this technology. And in 79, Ellison started Oracle, and his first contract was with the CIA. And what really triggered our further investigation into this aspect of Oracle is that we found last year other CIA documents that had been declassified, which show the day in March of 1979 when our first director, General James Freeze, was head of the U.S. Army Security Research Center, and he made the decision to start surveilling Americans without a warrant. And they called it Project Echelon. And the first time I'd ever heard of the word echelon was from Snowden's revelations. And now we see the proof that it was Freeze who ordered the surveillance of all Americans, by the way, for our safety and security. But I digress. Forget about the Bill of Rights. And he then ordered and paid for Oracle to be implemented as the basis for the system that now surveils everyone in the world. So we're talking about the core data of the Internet of Things is essentially stored on various Oracle databases. The other thing I didn't know, but history is real clear, the concept for this kind of database, which is called a relational database, really came out of a design by a British IBM researcher that moved to the United States that apparently Ellison was going to be the front man for. So what's really clear is that Ellison was probably the first cardboard cutout of the Internet of Things.
Now, you are such a modern digital man. I'm so glad you mentioned the Oracle of Delphi. Now you're talking classicism, and that's my area. So when you go to an oracle, what do you go there for? To ask a question. And what's its fame? It's going to give you an answer, and the answer is going to be correct. Well, that is exactly what DARPA needed, and they created from the beginning. Now it's called XData, but they created the basis of what Oracle then simply became a personal company representing a front man. So when they created it, it was created not long after, or just about simultaneously, with Mimex. Well, Mimex is Google, and everybody has to use Mimex. And whether anybody likes it or not, you have to use DARPA's database. And as I say, they've given it a new name called X Data. But the point is, to begin with, it was a DARPA database. it had back doors built into it because they realized these were weapons from the beginning and they needed to control them. They needed kill switches. They needed to be able to monitor, surveil, target, and attack. And they needed to have that back door so that all data flowed into the NSA and the DIA and the Department of Defense so that they could analyze it, because they knew when they created the internet, which was first called DARPANET, that it was a weapon and that they were experimenting with it. But their real experiments happened on the dark web even before that. So when you talk about an oracle, you now have, based upon the company Oracle's database being completely accessible to everyone, and I'm going to prove that in a minute, including the Chinese, or should I say especially the Chinese, that Peter Thiel created Palantir, which was nothing more than the CIA's newest version of what you were talking about a minute ago, Echelon, which is, it was called Open Source Works. And Open Source Works was, matter of fact, that's what Bruce Orr's wife, Nellie Orr, was using. She worked in that department, and she took that software, of course, and it's, or something similar, which now is anyone can buy. Anyone can buy the Palantir software, which then you can, it's an oracle. I can put in anybody's name I want, and I can dig up any data that is digital on them that has ever been created, including their Gmails, including their Facebook. Anything you thought was private is not. So that's the new Oracle. And now all businesses are using it. They use it to do background checks on people, which completely go through every single digital imprint that you ever made on your own personal folder on the internet. And they pull it up and they can use that legally against you to fire you or to not hire you, or to discriminate against you. And this is, of course, the social credit system Dragonfly, created for China by Eric Schmidt, which already is here in America. So
can I break that down?
Yeah, please do, because what I said is probably a little bit over most people's head to realize that anyone can do this and that you can buy it in, and I can research your life with the power of the CIA.
Well, it's easy to get confused because there's different layers here. So you talked about three. One layer is what people do with the data. Secondly, the search engine you're talking about, Mimex or Google or any of these search tools, that's an application layer that sits on top of a database. And the database itself is where the data is stored and retrieved. That's Oracle. Then you've got these search engines that sit on top of Oracle or any other database. But what we're learning now is the whole competition within the database world that I grew up with is probably Kabuki Theater. It looks like it all comes from IBM. And they just create, like they did with social networking, they created different versions of it make it look like there was competition, Sybase, relational database, Progress software, MySQL. There's a whole bunch of these products out there. But what it's now looking like, it's all an IBM design that came from a British IBMer who worked in British intelligence at the end of World War II and came to the United States. And even in the Wikipedia story of Ellison, they point to this guy as the source of the design for a relational database. And a relational database is think of it like a spreadsheet. And it's just a very big spreadsheet that stores a lot of data, unlike Excel spreadsheet that would store just a little bit of data. So we've got these various layers. And so when Freeze ordered the surveillance of all people in the world, the first thing they'd had to do was figure out how to get past this tapes, computer tapes, because that requires a human being to go put the tape up on the machine and spin it up. It looked like a tape recorder. And then do a lot of those to make sure you have enough to get at all your data. Well, this was the next step, this relational database that Ellison was a part of. And it looks like Ellison has been a CIA agent his whole life. And isn't it interesting that we seem to have come full circle with this TikTok Oracle deal as the end result of a whole sequence of events that now has come back to Oracle. And I'll bet anything there's problems they've got with the technology in China that they're having to unify because they can't get the Chinese data and the American data synced up for this social credit score. So that's why they have to assign it to Oracle to get it fixed. That's what I think.
Hey, Tyler, chiming in here, because I know we're also going to talk about Rona Fairhead and close the gap on how the Brits are involved. But I have to say, as you were talking about Larry Ellison and the Internet of Things, you know who else I was thinking about? The mysterious and elusive Richard C. Walker. Then I compared their photographs to each other. I'm just interesting. I wonder where that relationship, or if there is a relationship, because as our listeners know, Richard C. Walker has all these patents, also holds the patent for the Internet of Things. And you're talking about Larry Ellison also having that?
Well, Ellison's software is the database underneath the Internet of Things. So they needed the Internet of Things design to be the superstructure that they would implement at the integration stage, and it would all gravitate back to a single database run by Oracle, or we should really say IBM, because IBM seems to be the power behind this throne.
Well, yes, and you have, again, hit the nail on the head, because in China, you must comply with their digital tyranny, their digital totalitarianism, and become a member of Open Power Foundation. Well, that is supposedly open software that was magically created by no one, but then disseminated and run by IBM and Google in China. And so if Oracle, and I'm going to look this up, I did not see Oracle's name on the list of people who have become full members of Open Power Foundation. So my question to you, Michael, is it possible that Oracle has to have the TikTok deal so that they can write into that database the Chinese foundational spying gear that builds onto that database? And is this the way that then they can say, oh, we didn't join the Chinese Open Power Foundation. We had to become members because we were managing TikTok. And let's remember, it's not even TikTok. It's ByteDance. ByteDance makes $100 billion a year. They have 10 companies in all kinds of countries, and TikTok is only one of them. And TikTok gets almost a billion users a day, about 900 million. 100 million of them are in America. And it's a total Chinese spy device. That's the reason it's an Oracle. And it's a beautiful thing that Oracle would be connected to it, because now, as has been proved by the big scandal that came out, we told Britain, do not use Huawei. They're going to spy on you. Now, there are many companies in China who have used Huawei to even listen to conversations, go into emails, go into everything you thought was private, and they are blackmailing British politicians, very wealthy people in Britain, because they have the dirt on them, because they didn't know that even their secret phones are being watched as long as they go across a Huawei lines. So what we have here is the 100% proof that anytime you involve the Chinese, you involve the Chinese Communist Party. And anyone who wants to do any business with China is a communist, because they agree. And all you have to do is look in Wikipedia. TikTok, of course, has a member of the Chinese Central Committee, the worst Chinese communist oligarch you can imagine. One of them, and there's not that many, sit on the TikTok board, and they have ultimate control. Now, mind you, ByteDance itself, which owns TikTok, when you look into it, they're going to tell you, you know, the controlling shares are owned by a Chinese guy. Second most shares are owned by Susquehanna International right here in America. And you have the Japanese SoftBank, you have Sequoia Venture Capital. It is not a Chinese company. This is the British, obviously. Take a close look at who's behind these people. This is the British using the Chinese to suck people in to these new methods, which are more controllable, more totalitarian, which is the British way. So when you were say, when I'm saying Chinese communists, I'm saying the British created Chinese communism. They created Russian communism. They created the Bolsheviks. They created Marx, Lenin, Stalin, all of them. So what we're talking about here is a possibility that Oracle is using this as an excuse to sell out our database completely to the Chinese.
Well, I think that you just raised something I'd forgotten, and that is that there is a there is an alliance between TikTok and Huawei.
Nobody knows. Huawei.
Okay, Huawei. Okay, so those are two different things. One is a data collection interaction layer for the users, and then there's a network that it's sitting on. That's the Huawei portion. Well, President Trump prevented Huawei from being operating in the U.S. They are operating in England. And whenever you write software that has different layers involved in it, one of the things you have to be very clear to avoid is a connection in one that will break the other if anything changes. And since the Chinese have clearly optimized TikTok to run on top of Huawei, I think you probably hit the nail on the head. The reason they have to get Oracle involved now is because the U.S. has been disallowed from using Huawei, so they can't assume that layer. There are probably things in TikTok that are optimized to the Huawei layer that they've got to re-optimize to the Qualcomm layer and the Broadcom layer. And so Oracle has to get involved right now if they're going to do this in any kind of time frame. But here's the problem I think they have. I think they're not going to use American programmers to do this, because American programmers are a lot more independent minded. And if they hired American programmers to do all this illegal coding for things that are clearly related to this secret backdoor layer that they've got in China, then there would be too many whistleblowers. So what I think they're doing is I think they're trying to do the kabuki theater on forcing China to use, to allow TikTok to be run by Oracle. There was a pushback. That's all kabuki theater. They've now agreed to do it. And so what will probably happen is that the really nefarious layer that they've got to fix related to Qualcomm and Oracle, they're going to do in China. And then somebody like a goat or a mule from the U.S., like Zuckerberg's wife, for example, who's really close to Tsinghua University, will just carry the code back in some trip to China, because that all of that can fit on a CD-ROM. And so That's what it sounds to me like it is the problem they've got. But the interesting thing is that in all this time, Oracle has hidden from this Pilgrim Society view that we have been uncovering. But that was broken when our researchers started looking at the current directors of Oracle, and one of the people that stuck out like a sore thumb was this Baroness Rona Allison Fairhead, who has this magical resume, which is pretty classic of the senior people within the Pilgrim Society, that includes Bain, Harvard, Morgan Stanley, British Aerospace, that's BAE, Imperial Chemical Industries, ICI, which now is renamed AkzoNobel after Nobel Prize. And then they spun off AstraZeneca. And the interesting thing is that Baroness Fairhead was the chief of strategy for ICI when they spun off about half of their company to start AstraZeneca. And then we go on and then we see that she went to Pearson, which owns Financial Times, and she is currently a director at the Harvard Business Publishing. She then went to HSBC from 2004 to 2016. She was there when Comey was hired, as was Jaffra Katz, who is also an Oracle director. They were both there when they hired Comey at HSBC. She then spent the longest time with Interactive Data, which is a heavily pointed to as one of the prime culprits in the credit default swap that crashed the market in 2008. She then became a knight. She's a commander of the British Empire and went on the Her Majesty's Government Cabinet Office Board. And then we see Comey coming over there and working with her and Katz at HSBC, along with Sir Jonathan Simmons, who is the founder of Kinetic, Genomics England, GlaxoSmithKline, which is therefore associated with Bill Gates and all the biopharma controversies now, Novartis. And then she became a British ambassador to UK trade and investment. She then was assigned to the British broadcast BBC Trust, where she was essentially assigned by the Privy Council to be the chief propagandist for the Pilgrim Society / Privy Council. Then, strangely, from 2014 to 2017, she became a director of PepsiCo. And you have something to say about PepsiCo and poisons. But then we see she joined the Bilderberg Group. The Panama Papers came out. The SwissLeaks papers came out. Then she was assigned to be Minister of Trade for International Development, where she developed something like $86.1 billion in trade with China, including a retail deal with WeChat, which is associated with TikTok. And then she came to Oracle. She became a director of Oracle in July 10th of 2019. Now, that's just for starters. Then we started looking at her biography, which was crazy, messed up all over the place. And our people have now put together a coherent bio of her. And in her disclosures of her conflicts of interest at Oracle, she named only eight of 39 conflicts she disclosed to the Oracle shareholder. So in the process of this British subject, who's not an American subject, and therefore not associated or committed to the American Constitution, is assigned to Oracle, this massive database company that's got all of our sensitive information, healthcare information, personally identifiable information, everything about us that should be private, and is stuff that the American colonists complained about the British taking and seizing before the American Revolution. We've got this lady cutting deals with China and then coming to Oracle. And then magically, we get this announcement that Oracle is now going to volunteer to be the person that protects American data from TikTok and is lying through their teeth to the President of the United States right now.
Don't you worry. Gina Haspel has probably already informed the president of all these pesky little details.
No, let me tell you. There are two people who have been or are on the Oracle board, and they're both CIA directors. So you can't say that Gina Haspel is anything other than a knowledgeable insider in this whole scheme to steal the world's data. In their view, I'm sure they've convinced themselves that they're protecting us. But the fact is they have violated the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I don't care how they've justified it.
No. These people are too big. Their names are too big. Their prominence on the world stage is too big. They can never, ever be held responsible for committing treason, much less espionage. Right, Gina Haspel?
Yeah, well, the person who was in charge of the London CIA office during the time that the British set up George Papadopoulos, Sam Clovis, and use Carter Page. And yeah, Gina Haspel was part of the coup against Trump, and not one word has come out of her. And by the way, in these 4 years that Trump has been in charge, she hasn't done one single lick of work. You have not seen one single report.
Well, they have. How
the CIA has done a speck of work, except now we find cover their trails. No.
How could they possibly tell us anything that's true? Because they've been hiding their activity. Now we can see, since 1979, when Project Echelon was approved by Freeze, and ever since then, they've been collecting and analyzing data on Americans, and they have been funding the spy business using our tax dollars, using their offshore accounts with their drug smuggling and their money laundering and their child trafficking. And however they had to raise the money, they justified it, I'm sure. And now, after all this time, we're back to square one, where they've got to bring in the original perpetrator of this technology fraud to clean up this TikTok deal, if they're going to get the social credit score. That's amazing that they can't get the social credit score done without exposing their core database. Wow.
Well, General Freeze was right there along with General Hyden when Echelon, the database that was able to do megadata analysis, was put into place. And so it had already been created by the government. But then General Freeze, and that was surely either a DARPA projects and or stolen patents.
Well, that was back in your day, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Now, when they can't steal the patent up front, as we know, Serco manages all the patents in America and British Serco gets its first choice. Well, when General Freeze can't run it through the Highlands Forum, DARPA and InQtel, making sure that the British get their cut from the beginning, what does he do? He goes out and uses counterintelligence, espionage, and he does what? He enters into companies, gets on their board, and steals their IP, their trade secrets, their all of it. And that's what happened to Leader Technologies. This disgusting dirtbag, and I said earlier at the top of the show, we're going to talk about the dirtiest dogs there are. Well, General Freeze is one of the dirtiest, but Baroness Fairhead is the new Jeffrey Patty. And yep. She's the new Jeffrey Patty and Lord Malik Brown rolled into one.
Yep.
And she works with Jonathan Richard Simons with Kinetic. And we can be reminded that one CIA director after the next went over to help run Kinetic.
Yep.
And Kinetic is what? That is their British attack on the whole globe. Completely separate from the government.
By the way, with Kinetic, let me just point out that Kinetic, we've found the report in their financial reports. Kinetic manages all inventory for the U.S. Army from London.
They
can't make that up.
Everything for America. We can't even send a message to a ship without going through a British-controlled intelligence communication group that makes personal profit off of U.S. government business, especially military contracts. But now Baroness Fairhead is no worse than when they sent the ex-deputy the ex-deputy prime minister of England had to come over to take control of the what you would call the international face of Facebook. Of course, yeah. Facebook, I should always put in parentheses there, who does not pay taxes. None of these groups pay taxes.
Let me just point out, Sir Nick Clegg is the name. That name.
What'd I call him?
You didn't give him a name. Sir Nick Clegg is the person you're referring to at Facebook.
And Richard Lewis.
Baron Allen.
Allen. Sorry, Rich. Yeah. What we call him, Little Richie. A Baron. He's a Baron.
Yeah, Baron Richard Allen.
Yeah, well, he's baron his soul to us because he had to come over here and try to save Zuckerberg, which is impossible. But at one point, he became the spokesperson. And then came the deputy prime minister of England, came over to the illegal, horrible, awful Facebook so that they could control it from Britain. So when we're looking at Baroness Fairhead, we must remember that HSBC, which is the most corrupt bank on the earth, they've had $10 billion in fines just from the SEC and from America. That doesn't count the fines to other countries. she is controlling a $2.7 trillion money laundering, drug supporting, terrorist supporting bank. And so they always use, it's a Hong Kong, Shanghai banking corporation. No, it's not. It's the British, period. And when you try to see what they really get away with, okay, their biggest fines ever. Who was it that got them out of? And you now I go to Wikipedia and it'll say that it was a $881 million money laundering scam with HSBC. No, it wasn't. It was $40 billion. And when James Comey got there, he got there fine. No one went to jail. No one was prosecuted. And they had, I think, a $1.4 billion fine for making $40 billion. In other words, the price of doing business. Oh, when was the second largest fine they've ever had? Oh, that's when Robert Mueller was there to get them out of that one and reduce the fine down to, I can't even find the how small amount they paid for another multi-billion dollar drug laundering, money laundering, drug trafficking and terrorist trafficking, human trafficking. HSBC should be closed down, and it's a perfect example of any British bank.
Let me stop you there. Because you talked about the first settlement with HSBC for $1.2 billion. That was right before Comey went there as chief counsel. And that deal was handled by none other than Loretta Lynch when she was a U.S. attorney in the Eastern District of New York. And so it's conceivable, probable, that her deal with the devil was they were going to make her attorney general at some point, which they did, and I can't remember when, but that was under Obama. And then if you'll recall, when she was attorney general, who did she assign to actually make the decision on Hillary Clinton's servers? Who did she assign to make that decision when she supposedly backed out? That's a quiz. That was James Comey, FBI.
Well, of course. I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah. Comey, of course. But I mean,
she picked her co-conspirator to come in and go through the kabuki theater of doing a real investigation. And then she found out laptop. She didn't mean it.
Right. And the Wiener laptop. Yeah. The reason it's never come to light. Because Comey was using blackmail against Loretta Lynch. He actually said this in public. He threatened her in public during testimony that he has yet to tell the whole truth on Loretta Lynch. And then he made other very cryptic remarks. Now, was he talking about the 1.2? Sorry, I said 1.4. I get mixed up when it comes to billions.
I was going to correct you, but I thought I'll just...
No, I'm really happy because that's the third correction I've had since I became a broadcaster, and two of them came from you. So, 1.2 billion dollar settlement because Loretta Lynch, of course, working for the Department of Justice, usually the corrupt path goes through the Southern or Eastern District of New York. And then these people make these decisions that get them into higher positions. They make big decisions. And then when they retire, well, let's look what happened. I think it was Mueller or Comey. I think it was Mueller. The first year of no longer being the FBI, head of the FBI, wasn't it the Mellon Trust that paid him $10 million? And that was just one of his salaries. And what did he do for them? Nothing that we know of. Well, that's because before that, he had, I'm sure, forgiven them sins and didn't look in the direction of their crimes. Same thing with Comey. So when we're talking about corruption, it doesn't get any better than this, that the people who are making some of the biggest salaries out there go back to making $145,000 a year to become the attorney general. Mm-hmm. That's nonsense. They're making untold amounts of money by their own self-aggrandizement.
Let's remember that the FBI was a part of the 1946 Five Eyes Agreement with the U.S. Army Security Agency. So it was the U.S. Army folks and FBI were cutting the deal with all of these Pilgrim Society people in Britain who were deciding how they were going to carve up the intelligence of the world and run it from London. We've known that London, these guys know and have known that London was going to run the American intelligence ever, actually before the war, because we got to go back and look at the creation of RCA and NBC and CBS and all these people associated with Sarnoff and Bell Labs and all of these technology development firms. They were all in bed with the Pilgrim Society, who set off on their course starting in 1902. And then in the First Imperial Press Conference in 1909, to use the power of the state, and that is the U.S. state and the British state, to hide their sins and then create this global mechanism for control and propaganda that we are suffering with now. And so there's the answer. How long can a conspiracy like this last before it becomes exposed? I guess about 120 years. And it makes sense. I mean, when you use the power of the state to shut everybody up with state secrets threats, that's pretty effective.
The government monopolies that have come out of exactly what you're talking about in broadcasting and propaganda, in medicine and pharmaceuticals, in vaccines, in war machines, in Nobel and Mond and all the armament people, all the gun runners, all of these people can be easily solved if I were the leader of the world or even the leader of America. Here's what I'd do. I would say that there can be no such thing as an international corporation in America.
Right.
Period. Done. No international people on the board of any American corporation. And
right, because they're not subject to our laws.
Correct. No dual citizenship. We have some of the biggest Russian oligarchs become British citizens to become American citizens, and they are still the oligarchs in Russia. And then we allow them to come in and influence our election. I'm talking about Oleg Deripaska. I'm talking about Blavatnik. I'm talking dozens of them, okay? So here, it's real, real simple. And look, it gets very clear when you look at China and internationalism. Oracle, a perfect example. They're going to say it's a Chinese company so that in the end, if the Chinese Communist Party wants to do anything they want with it, they can, and no one can do a darn thing because they got the one belt, one road mentality of communist dictatorial totalitarianism, and you cannot do business in a capitalistic environment when you have that as your ultimate trapdoor. So get rid of anyone who is a dual citizen. Just tell them, go on back to the other country that you think you'd owe allegiance to, because it's illegal to give allegiance to foreign powers, especially if those foreign powers are enemies. And so Miss or Mrs. Lore, Baroness Fairhead, is on the Queen's Special Royal Chamber. Okay, that may be, that's just as bad as being on the Privy Council, especially in the inner chamber group of the Privy Council, which Lord Malik Brown and Jeffrey Patty are in. Now we see that their replacement is Baroness Fairhead, but she's doing it again through what? Internationalism. I don't want any British people coming over here telling me what to do. First off, they need to change their accent because they can, because I can speak with a British accent, they can speak American, okay? Secondly, they don't get control of nothing. And if there's a Facebook or if there's a Palantir or if there's a Google that has its headquarters in Ireland or Luxembourg or whatever, then get them out of America. They don't get to do business here. If they don't pay taxes here, they don't do business here. And if they are connected to Russians or Chinese communists, like remember Skolkovo, the city of progress that Hillary and Obama built for Putin, is trying to keep them in a race with us. In other words, Obama and Hillary were massive Russian communists, Chinese communists. They sold us out because why? She's getting a check from the Walton family board because she is a paid member. That means everything that Walmart sold, the Chinese goods, Hillary got a tax on it. Now, what's important to remember is that Hillary tried to get the 5G contract here in America. Why was that? She lied. No one knew that she was Broadcom. Now, she owns the crypto keys. So Hillary, through a variety of companies that the researchers, the miners, and Americans for Innovation have researched and brought forward more than anybody else, shows that she went to China. And then she tried to come back through Singapore, through a fake company, Qualcomm, using Richard C. Walker, who Betsy just made reference to, another fake Silicon Valley cardboard cutout, who has so many inventions, he doesn't even have time to write them down, let alone invent them, let alone follow through on the patent. So Broadcom was going to take over 5G. Why? Because Hillary was trying to outdo Huawei, the Chinese, who were the only ones who were going to get the contract, right? Which is really ridiculous. I can go into the fact that China doesn't own intellectual property, but you wouldn't believe who does. I'm not going to go there yet. But the point is, Hillary was Qualcomm. They almost got the ability to go beyond the crypto keys and spy on everything that we have now seen Huawei has been spying on in Britain through its Chinese company. And so Hillary was trying to do that. Now, we can see that also happening with Eric Schmidt. He went over there to China, and he invented Dragonfly. Well, what was that? That was a Chinese new labeling for what was going on here in America called the social credit system, which most people don't even know is in place, and yet they can be completely abnegated as a digital citizen by a push of a button if someone doesn't like you. So they went over, and he developed what he called Dragonfly. He came back to America. This is what happened. China then made their own version of Dragonfly, which was nothing more than the social credit system that Eric Schmidt already has in place here in America. So he just gave all the back doors to the Chinese. Same thing happened with Facebook. IBM and Google with Open Power Foundation.
Since we're on Oracle, I need to point out that Dragonfly would use Oracle as the data store for the Chinese surveillance. So we need to keep that in mind. What the problem is they're having is, if they're going to unify this Internet of Things into a common database, Oracle's driving it. And the fact that they brought Oracle forward is interesting because of the fact that it's been so hidden up till now. And the problem must be pretty big. But you're right. I mean, all of these applications are all different ways of gathering the data in that Richard C. Walker concept of everything being connected to a single source. That the Oracle database portion of this is kind of like the crowning piece to make this all work.
Yes. A few years ago, I was harping on this. I haven't heard anybody talking about it at all. China and Russia separated out of the internet, and they have an intranet. They do not let us do searches into China unless they want us to. They have an entire secret net. Now, there are many of these already in place, like there's one in Turkey, but the one in Turkey is pervasive not only in the internet through Google and through other internet service providers and search engines, but also for every single social media. Have you noticed that in Turkey, when Erdogan decided that he didn't like the people going out there and protesting against him, he turned off all social media? And you notice George Soros used social media in multiple color revolutions that were effective. Now, if China and Russia don't allow us to go in, but they can come into ours, that is basically the mentality of one belt, one road, which is the communist way or hit the highway. There's only one, like I like to call it, one big belt is going to hit you if you don't get on the road going to China, because that is all they're saying. And they've proven it 1,000 times or more. Every deal they do, they then try to leverage later with absolute dictatorial totalitarianism. So why are we even getting involved in them? So I say, as Trump says, FTE was spying, Lenovo was spying, Huawei was spying, all these companies.
Selling the IBM PC group to the Chinese, to Lenovo, was spying.
Absolutely. Zoom
is
spying.
Here again, we keep hearing IBM with Oracle, IBM sells this, IBM PCs. So what we're really seeing is that IBM has been driving the bus technologically since probably for the last 100 years.
Oh, absolutely.
And we're going back to the late 1800s, early 1900s, when their calculating machines started being deployed. And then by the end of World War II, they were cataloging citizens all over the world, not just in Germany, not just the Jews in Germany. They were running the U.S. Census. So this company is sitting there in the background, kind of like Oracle, keeping a low key, as low key as they can. But now we see that they must be either confident or they must have a technical problem. And my bet is it's a technical problem, because you're talking about, anytime you're talking about a system this large, there are so many moving parts. It's so easy for it to break.
Michael, what do we need to do to fix this? Do we need a civil engineer on the job? I mean, how does it get unwound? Because it's so huge and it affects so many companies.
I don't know what the profession of the person is, but they've got to learn how to do project management in such a way that you can actually do problem solving, and you don't solve problems that aren't the real problem. So I think that conceptually, what has to happen, since we can see that Oracle is the database of choice, and since we can see there's obviously a layer within Oracle that only these corruptocrats get access to, that's sitting below what most developers would normally see, there's got to be programs in Oracle that allow access to only the elite. And conceptually, you could go in, you could find that layer, and you could take it out. And as soon as you do that, the lights go dark. You can't get to the data. You can't access the data unless you're given permission to. And that would be, hey, respect the Bill of Rights. It's my data, not yours. So that's conceptually. Now, practically speaking, whenever you write software and you have layers, there are always shortcuts that programmers take. And when they do shortcuts, it may work for that time. But later on, if something changes in the other part of the program that you did the shortcut with, that'll break something. Something won't work after that. And so the devil's in these details. So conceptually, take that layer out. And that requires Oracle to release its core database software, and probably a team of 20 to 25 people not associated with all these corruptocrats that can go in there and look for those layers. And that will take some time to do that. And it's got to be planned properly and executed well. But once you find those, you can take that layer out. You can recompile your data. You can test, and you can hopefully find a solution with the existing software out there. If it's so interwoven that it can't be fixed, then you're going to have to start over. I mean, relational databases are not magic. Everyone knows how they work now. And the real key is what's going on with these shenanigans, with these corruptocrats who are all spies. That's what we're seeing. The entire technology world is a nest of spies, and they have dictated our cultures around the world for our entire lifetimes and those of our parents and our grandparents. That has got to stop. We're done. I'm done. I'm going to do everything I can to stop that.
Well, you are, because you just brought out the fact that Baroness Fairhead committed all kinds of crimes by not disclosing her interconnections to corporations.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so from the Baroness Fairhead's British, and hey, whatever the rules for disclosure in Britain are, they are what they are. I'm talking about her fiduciary duty as an incoming Oracle director to the American investing public. Her fiduciary duty is, when she's a candidate to be a director, she must disclose all material conflicts of interest and relationships that could be conflicts. That's the rule. It's called the business judgment rule, and it's applied across the board in the United States. And so what we now see is that of the 39 conflicts that we could find, she only disclosed about eight. She only disclosed eight. And so what that means is that her disclosure is fraudulent. I mean, you can forgive one or two, maybe they forgot. But when it's 31 out of 39, that's willful, that's malicious, and the entire investing public has been deceived. This is fraud. And since it's very unlikely that these Oracle directors, the other directors, did not know that she was not disclosing this information to the public, they are aiding and abetting this crime. So from the standpoint of securities law in the United States, as it's written, then Ms. Barrett is committing fraud. As a foreign agent, she's committing espionage. And those that let her do it in Oracle, if they're Americans, are treasonous because they're sitting there in silence when it's quite obvious what's going on.
Look, they just have the advantage in the warfare. They're the enemy, and they have advantage over us because so many of us are not awake of what's really going on, because it's more than just surveillance. I mean, we see what they're doing. What it really is about is control, and you see that.
Well,
with the
I see eugenics as well. I see population control.
Yes, but they have to nudge you. You're not going to agree to genocide in just one fell swoop. So it's a nudge. So the first thing is to spy on us, then it's to control us. And then the next thing, everybody's got a face mask on. And in Florida, I have friends down there. The governor lifted the face mask order. People still walking around with them because it was an experiment, a social engineering experiment. So it was going to take a while to walk people back from their hysteria. It's mass hysteria. But this is about control. And control for what? To control humanity by the Pilgrim Society and to exterminate many of us. And this is our reality right now. Does Donald Trump see this?
He sees it, but look what he has to fight against. So I would suggest, in my crazy way of looking at things, that it's very simple. Globalists or internationalism is based upon lawlessness, because there's so many factors involved that a foreigner can come and actually make rulings in this country in corporations with absolute impunity and cannot be charged because they have corporate immunity. First, we need to get rid of corporate immunity. You commit a crime with a corporation, you get prosecuted. Simple as that. You can't have anybody on your board that isn't an American. We don't need IBM because it has the word international at the beginning of it. Any international company is selling out America if it's working in the military. And remember, everything digital is military. Correct. So all we really have to do is follow the rule of law, make sure that these people who are on these corporations don't have insider knowledge, insider trading advantage, and then make sure that we acknowledge that communists can't do any business with us, period, and that globalists are fascists who are lawless pigs that we simply need to get out of anything to do, as Betsy said, with the control of America.